is teaching when this young man comes up to him and asks him this question, "Good master, what must I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And as he begins to answer that question, look at the conversation that happens between them. The first thing he asks is, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good, that is God." And what he's trying to get him to realize is who I am. You've got to realize I am God in the flesh. And when you call me good master, you're just thinking about me as an ordinary teacher. Jesus is different from Isaiah. He's different from the rabbis. He's different from the preachers like I am. He is God. And so he's the one talking to him. But he said, if you want to enter eternal life, keep the commandments. And the young man says, which ones? And Jesus quotes to him, beginning in the Ten Commandments, and he quotes some of them and adds some others. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. And this young man says, I've done all those things from my youth up. Now that tells me a good bit about this man. Look at what it says about him. I've honored my father and mother. And we don't have any teenagers that have spoken disrespectfully to their mother and father, have we? Or maybe we did it ourselves when we were younger, that we disobeyed and did not show the respect and honor that our mother and father deserved. Thou shalt not steal. We don't have any of our teenagers that gone into Walmart and picked up something and put it in their pocket without paying for it. Somebody's doing that. The businesses are losing a lot of money from shoplifting. But this man can honestly say, I've not done that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And surely we don't have some young men that might be involved in fornication and sexual immorality. Somebody's guilty of that. But this young man could say, I've not done those things. And he could say, I love my neighbor as myself. I treat him properly. And I'm trying to say these things to let you sink in and understand this is not a bad person. But Jesus realizes there's something about his character that is missing. You're asking on the basis of your knowledge of Scripture, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And you realize something's not right in your life. And so Jesus said, I'm going to tell you what it is. If you want to be perfect, you go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. Now Jesus was not laying down a universal law that every one of us who choose to be his disciple have got to liquidate all of our asset, donate it to the church, and then become a Christian. What he's saying is, I want you to realize what's wrong with you. And he identified it to this man in such a way that the Scripture says about him, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And he chose his possessions above following Christ. He was entangled in the affairs of life. He wouldn't have identified those possessions as the quicksand that was oozing the life right out of him, but that's what was going on this occasion. And so here's an illustration of somebody that's let the affairs of life choke out God. Look at another passage with me. In the 14th chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus shows another illustration to make us see ourselves as God would have us see him. Begin reading in verse 15 of chapter 14, and we'll read down through verse 24. While Jesus is speaking, somebody speaks up and says, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Well, that sounds like a great amen passage, doesn't it? I can amen that. Can you amen that? And Jesus then takes off on this subject that may look like it's irrelevant, but it isn't. Then Jesus said unto them, a man had made a great feast, and he invited many people to come. And he sent his servant out at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. Do you remember that invitation we sing sometime? All things are ready, come to the feast. This is the text from which it was taken. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first man said, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another one said, I've married a wife, therefore I can't come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly unto the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you have commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said, you go out into the highways and the hedges, and to compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And then he said, for I say to you, that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. Do you hear the upsetness and anger in the heart?